Well, God bless you. Good morning. Great to be with you again today. Thank God for his grace and mercy and for how he watches over us and cares for us. And it's a terrific thing. So take your Bibles and let's go to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. You know, this book of Ephesians was written to the church at Ephesus. And there are things in here that relate directly to that individual church and the other church epistles. There are places where there's mention of an individual and that, you know, that applies to that individual. But this, the church at Ephesus is part of the body of Christ. And this letter, this epistle, was written to give the revelation of the doctrinal truths that relate to our administration. So Ephesians, although it was written to the church at Ephesus, it applies generally to the whole body of believers. And then we can read this as though it were addressed regarding us because we're part of the body of believers. So Ephesians 1:1, it says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. He didn't become an apostle because of a church council that decided that he should be an apostle. He didn't become an apostle because he went through a certain educational format and then was pronounced an apostle at the end. He was an apostle because God made him an apostle. An apostle is someone that brings new light to his generation. It may be old light, but it's new light to the generation to which he addresses. So Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. So it's not just to the saints that are at Ephesus, but it's to the faithful in Christ Jesus. And Romans is the first doctrinal epistle. Okay, the revelation given in Romans is doctrine, and then Corinthians and Galatians were written as reproof and correction for the doctrine that was given in Romans. Ephesians is doctrinal, and it builds on what was put forth in Romans, the doctrinal truths that were carried forth in Romans. So the faithful in Christ Jesus, those that are, we want to be among those that are faithful according to the doctrinal revelation that God gave and the reproof and the correction that he gave to this administration. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace and peace. Grace is unmerited favor. We live in the age of grace, which is a terrific thing. I'm so glad for that. We don't, in the Old Testament times, for a while they lived under the patriarchal administration, but then the law was given. And then they lived under the law. And the law was hard to live under. That's why they had to have sacrifices in order to get back to this where they should be under the law. But the great thing about us living in grace is Jesus Christ became the sacrifice, and he represented all the sacrifices for the sins of man, so that now we can live in grace because of what he accomplished. And what a terrific thing that is. And a lot of people don't seem to understand that man was in a fallen state. We're going to read, if we get to it, and I hope we will. It depends on how long I talk. But, you know, in here it talks about that in time past, we walked according to the course of this world. It says we're dead. We were dead in trespasses and sins. the reason we were dead is because when Adam and Eve sinned, they lost spirit. You know, God said, if you eat of this, you shall surely die. Well, they lived on for 830 years or so. And so, you know, let's think about this. They lived on, but it says that they died. What died? The spirit part of man died. So mankind, after that point, and then everybody born into the world, born, you know, from Adam and Eve and their prodigy, they all were born as body and soul people, dead in trespasses and sins. But because of what Jesus Christ accomplished, spirit could be made available again. When it talks about being born again, that's talking about receiving the gift of Holy Spirit, the seed of God in Christ in you. And that seed, that Holy Spirit, is what makes us now alive unto God. That makes us alive so that we're no longer dead in trespasses and sins. And we get that by grace, not by our works, but by the works that Jesus Christ did to make it available for us to be born again, to have spirit life within us. You know, Jesus Christ said he came that we might have life and that we might have it more abundantly. Well, that more than abundant life is in the spiritual category. And that was not available until what Jesus Christ accomplished. Verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with a few spiritual blessings. Oh, all spiritual blessings. You know, Jeanette has this song, All Means All. So what you talking about or something?
What you worried about.
What you worried about, yeah. All means all. Well, if we're blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, then we are blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Hey, pretty good deal, huh? And that's what it is. That's what we have. According as he, God, hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, before the overthrow of the cosmos, which happened when Adam and Eve sinned, they were kicked out of the garden. That overthrew everything that God had planned, and so he made another plan. And that plan was your salvation and mine. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, the overthrow of the cosmos, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Christianity is a love thing. It's a love thing. God so loved that he gave. Jesus Christ so loved that he gave. Boy, oh boy. Having predestinated or foreordained us unto sonship. Adoption of children is unto sonship by Jesus Christ to himself. this predestinated, God marked out a place for us. He saved a place for us so that we could be part of the body of Christ, so that we could have these many wonderful spiritual blessings, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. You ever feel like you don't quite measure up? Don't do that. Stop that. We are accepted in the beloved. We are accepted in God's beloved. So if you're accepted in God's beloved, it doesn't matter if you're not accepted somewhere else. You know, that's the exception that counts. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. God is rich. Well, he's a creator of the heavens and the earth. I mean, there's a lot of wealth there, but he's riches of his grace. He is rich in grace. He will not run out of grace. You know, how much grace does God have? All the grace we will ever need and then some. Because he's got to have grace for everybody. He's rich in it. You know, people talk about, oh, that guy's rich in gold, or he's rich in oil, or whatever else, antiques. But here's the real riches. According to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. You know, this was wise and prudent for him to do this. He hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself. And the mystery of his will is really covered in more detail in chapter 3 of Ephesians, where it talks about how the Gentiles are fellow heirs and of the same body, that was the mystery. It wasn't a mystery that Jesus Christ came to accomplish things for Israel. But what was a mystery was that it wasn't just for Israel, it was for everybody. Everybody. Saint and sinner alike. Israel and Hindus, you know. Hindus don't have to stay Hindus. They can become God-dos or something. You know, they can get born again of God's Spirit. They can, you know, it's available. It's available. Having made known unto us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself. He purposed it himself. He purposed it in himself. What are you using?
The Berean Study
Bible. Okay. Well, I'm using the King James Study Bible.
Sorry.
That's all right. The study part is all my notes in here. Verse 10. That in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance. We've obtained an inheritance. Isn't that terrific? You know, we've got an inheritance. I mean, even if our parents didn't give us an inheritance, our number one greatest parent, God, our Father, has given us an inheritance, in whom we have obtained an inheritance in Christ, being predestinated, being foreordained according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. All this is according to God's will. This is what God wants for us. This is God's will. People say, well, I'd really like to know God's will. Well, read the Bible. That's God's will. That we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom you also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Hearing it isn't enough. Hearing it isn't enough. Hearing it is wonderful. You know, we're going to do a class here next weekend. It's called, we're introducing people to God's truth and power. We're introducing them to it, but then once they get that introduction, they have to do something to receive the benefit of it, and that is believe. Believe. In whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel, the good news of your salvation, your wholeness, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. When you get born again of God's Spirit, the die is cast. You know, I think didn't Shakespeare say that or something? I don't know. But when you're sealed with that Holy Spirit, it means that's it. You're sealed. That's it. You know, it's got God's seal of approval on it. It means that you are what God says you are. You have what God says you have. You've got it. Verse 14, which is the earnest, the down payment. It's only the down payment. You know, the gift of Holy Spirit on the inside is power from on high. It gives us the ability to operate manifestations of that Spirit. You know, we can pray for people and they get healed. You know, God can tell us what to do about things and situations. He can give us revelation, word of knowledge, word of wisdom. That is power to an individual so that he knows how to conduct his life or her life. You know, and we get that power from God to work miracles. All nine manifestations are in that Holy Spirit of promise. We're sealed. We've got the earnest of that inheritance now. We know we've got the inheritance in the future because we've got the earnest of that inheritance now until the redemption of the purchased possession under the praise of his glory. The redemption of the purchased possession, we're the purchased possession. We belong to God. And what's going to happen is when the return comes, the full redemption, then we're going to be we're going to have a body fashioned like unto Christ's glorious body, you know, where he could be one place at one time and then moments later in another place. Remember, they were behind closed doors for fear of the Jews. And Jesus Christ suddenly in his resurrected body stood in the midst of them. That's the kind of body we're going to have. Hey, I like that body. We're going to turn this one in for a new one. You know, boy, that's part of our inheritance. Man, oh man, isn't God awesome? Oh my gosh. Wherefore, I also, after I heard, or when I heard, of your believing in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, this is what he's praying, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know, not question, not doubt. God wants us to know. God does not want us to be in darkness. You know, God is light. In him is no darkness at all. It says that there's not even shadow of turning. You know, if you turn a certain way, like I've got a shadow right here, but if I turn another way, that shadow sort of disappears, and I got a shadow over there. There's no shadow of turning with him. He's all light. You know, here's a light source, and there's a shadow behind. But if it's all light, there's no shadow in that light because that shadow may cause lights. I mean, that light may cause shadows. Said it backwards. But, you know, that there's no shadow in it. There's no turning with God. God is consistent, faithful, dependable. Any other words you can come up with? Maybe you got some others. Just the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. The riches of the glory. You know, I think about riches. You know, you see it in the movies. They get all this gold and they, look at these riches. Well, the riches of his glory are a lot better than gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble. That's another verse, I guess. And what is the exceeding greatness the exceeding greatness. It's not just greatness, it's beyond greatness of his power to usward, toward us who believe according to the working of his mighty power. If we believe according to the working of his mighty power, then we shall see the working of his mighty power. That's why this thing we're doing, we're calling it God's truth and power. God's truth, now believe it. Result, power. Power for the more than abundant life. And that's in every category of life. Power to know what to do in situations where, you know, you might feel like, oh gosh, what should I do? Power to walk and talk with God. You know, power to pray for people and see results. Verse 20 says, which he wrought in Christ, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ, he accomplished in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places. Okay. There's a lot of power. You know, when somebody's heart stops, they put some power back in there. You know, is their heart beating? No? Okay, give it to them again. Okay, turn it up to whatever. I don't know. I don't know how they do it. But, and then, wait, I hear there's a slight heartbeat. They're coming back. You know, all right. What power does it take to raise someone from the dead that has been dead 3 days and three nights in a tomb, in darkness, in the darkness of that tomb? They're just laying there dead as a doornail, you know, dead. And God raised him from the dead. That, folks, is power. That is power. It takes power to raise, you know, that's very shocking. You know, that little shocking thing. They get their heartbeat back. But raised from the dead, never to die again, to die no more. This is what's called everlasting life. You know, our life is an everlasting life. We're born, it lasts, we die, but God is going to raise us up. Just like he did Jesus Christ. Think of the power that is going to take. Not just, he's not going to do just this one and then this one. And then we're all, you know, those that are in the grave, we're all going to stand up. That's what it says. And then we're going to be taken up together with him to meet him in the air. We and all those that are alive at that time too. They're already standing up. They're just going to take off. The hope of his calling. Man, oh man. And look at this. So, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. All right, now this is another thing of power. And set him at his own right hand in heavenly places. We do rocket ships. All the power of that rocket, that engine, to go to the moon. Or to go in orbit. Just to go in orbit around the Earth. All that power. We see it on TV. You know, when they do those launches. All that power. What about the power to take Jesus Christ through the heavens and set him at his own right hand? That's some kind of power. That is amazing power. Far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named. You know, every celebrity, far above. Every name that is named. Not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And hath put all things under his feet. All things are under Jesus Christ's feet. All right, if all those things are under Jesus Christ's feet, and we are part of the body of Christ, even if we're the little toe as a part of the body of Christ. See what I'm saying? Far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, the word world is age, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things. How many things?
All things.
And the word things is in italics in the King James. Does your Bible have italics?
No, italics.
Wait, does his study Bible?
I'm looking at it.
All right, now, come on. I'm in verse 22.
All things.
Well, the reason we like...
It doesn't even have a word in there.
Okay, it's all. The word things is not in the text. It's not in the Greek or the Aramaic. And hath put all under his feet. All, whether they be things or whatever they are. All, to emphasize the word what? All. Put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. It's God in Christ in you. No one that is born again gets missed. No one gets less. Everyone gets what? All. All. Chapter 2. The word and here should be translated the word even. Can be translated even. It should be translated even. You know, you might be sitting there saying, probably you aren't, but you might be saying, yeah, that's good for everybody else, but what about me? Even you. God put that in there. Even you hath he quickened. Even you who were dead in trespasses and sins. That is the fallen state of man. Man was dead spiritually. The absence of life is death. Man, every child born into this world is body and soul. And now, because of what God accomplished in Christ, every child born into this world can become body, soul, and spirit. But we're born body and soul. We're dead in trespasses and sins. That's how we come into the world. And then we decide, where are we going to go? What are you going to do? Do you want eternal life? Do you want everlasting life? Even you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past he walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that worketh in the children of disobedience. That is the adversary. He's called the adversary, the devil, the tempter, Satan. You know, he's got some other names. Beelzebub. But this is really something, because there are two choices in life. Once you're born into the world in your body and soul, you got two choices. Are you going to believe what the world tells you, or are you going to believe what the Word tells you? You know, and everybody chooses. Some people have sort of an amalgamation of that. They believe some things the world tells them, and they believe some things the Word tells them. But, you know, my mission in life is to try to make myself, get myself to believe what the Word says. Why would we want to believe half-truths, false things, deceptive things, manipulative things, when we can believe the truth? The truth. It's the Word, and nothing but what? The Word. Isn't that terrific? Among whom we all had our conversation. You know, our manner of life was among these folks that were, you know, dead in trespasses and sin. It was it's a tough road to hoe. tough road to hoe. Tough crowd. You know, if you ever had a garden, sometimes the weeds take over and you got a tough row to hoe to get the weeds out of there. But anyway, but God takes them out. God gets rid of the weeds in our lives when we put on his word. You know, the world introduces the seed weeds, you know. You know, we got a great garden over here, but then the world brings thorns and thistles and all that stuff into it, and then we got to get the weeds out. Well, we get the weeds out of our life by the word. So you got the world with the weeds and the word without the weeds, with God's truth and power. What a terrific thing. Among whom also we all had our conversation, our manner of life in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But, and this is one of my favorite buts in the Bible, but, in contrast to that, God, who is, again, rich in mercy. Mercy is the withholding of merited judgment. That is a terrific word. God is rich in grace, and he's rich in mercy. You know, you deserved to be judged. You deserved, because of the fallen state of man and what you did with that, a lot of bad stuff. But God is rich in forgiving that merited judgment against you. God is rich in mercy. For his great, what? Love. God so loved that he gave. Jesus Christ so loved that he gave. We should so love that we give. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses and sins. You know, we were dead in sins. Even when we were dead in sins, another place it says trespasses and sins, but we'll just, sins is enough. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us, made us alive together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Our fate is sealed. In God's mind, we are already seated with Christ in heavenly places. What a God that we have. Grace, mercy, whew, that is tremendous, tremendous. Hath raised us up, us. The us is in italics, but it's talking about us. Hath raised up together, us. And made us to sit together. He made us sit. He didn't say, would you like a seat? He said, sit down. He made us sit. We're seated. You know, in the word, when God is finished with something, or when someone is finished with their work, they sit down. Jesus Christ was finished with what he needed to do to accomplish for all of mankind, salvation, redemption, righteousness, justification, sanctification. All those wonderful things, the hope, all that stuff. And then he was seated in the heavenlies. When we get born again of God's Spirit, we receive this inheritance, which includes we're already in God's eyes seated in the heavenlies. We're seated in the heavenlies. But I don't feel like it. Too bad. But I don't want to. It's already done. Oh, gee. Okay. That in the ages to come, in the ages to come, our, you know, how long are we going to live? I don't know. You know, I'm coming up on 77. I guess that spiritual perfection, 7 times 7. I don't know. 77. Yeah. You know, 7 is supposed to be number for spiritual perfection. Gosh, that'll be great. You think I'll be that good when I'm 77? I don't know. Spiritual, what'd you say?
We already are.
Oh, spiritually I am. God made me that way. That's right. So that's the image we want to carry of ourselves in our minds. It's terrific.
I do have a, am I allowed to ask a question?
Usually not, but this time, go ahead.
You know how you were talking about the apostles in the beginning?
Yes.
And how they were...
Chosen by God.
Chosen by God, but the light for that time for the people to learn?
Right.
Do we have apostles today?
Yes. Yes, we do.
Preachers would be considered apostles, right?
They're 5 gift ministries.
Oh.
Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. And there are apostles today, there are prophets today, there are pastors, you know, and they are a gift to the church in that category that they fulfill. You know, like there are prophets today. They're teachers today. You know, they're pastors. I'm not so much of a pastor, but I'm a pretty good teacher. But, you know, there are people that are gifts, the gift ministry, they're gifts to the body of Christ, and they minister as God tells them to minister.
Okay.
And there are apostles today.
Thank you. Sorry to
Good ask. Good question, though. Good question. Okay. Hath raised us up together, made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace. I think his grace is pretty doggone good now, but it's exceeding riches. It goes beyond riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. God is loving. God is kind. He's full of mercy. He's merciful to us. He's gracious to us. What a wonderful Heavenly Father. For by grace ye are saved through believing. Through believing. And church epistles like this one, that is a doctrinal epistle, it tells us what we are to believe. Reproof points out places where you're not believing the way you should and gets you back to believing how you should. But then correction comes about when people practice error long enough, they start to make a doctrine out of it. So correction is given to correct doctrinal maladies, falsehoods, that have entered into the church due to a failure of adhering to the revelation of the doctrine. So the great thing about the church epistles is they're laid out just like that. Ephesians is doctrinal. Philippians is reproof. And then Colossians is correction. And in Colossians, it really harps on the point that it's God and Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. What God has put within us. For by grace are you saved through believing, the right way of believing. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Grace is a gift from God. Not of works. You can't get good enough. I hear people say, well, I want to get good enough to be saved someday. You'll never make it. You'll never be good enough. There was only one person that was ever good enough, and God raised him from the dead. And he paid the price so that we can enjoy that benefit. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Look at this, verse 10, and this is where we're going to stop today. For we are his workmanship. We are God's masterpiece, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. When we walk according to God's word, we just walk into those good works. You know, we're just walking along. Somebody needs to be prayed for, we pray for them. You know, something else comes up, we take care of that according to the greatness of God's word. And we just live a life where we do our utmost to represent his highest. You know, we want to give our utmost for his highest because he gave so much for us. Heavenly Father, again, we're so thankful for the greatness of your word, for the privilege it is to be a son of God, a daughter of God, a child of God. What a joy it is to know we've got an inheritance and to know what that inheritance is. We can look forward to a day when we will have this, not this body, but a glorious body fashioned like unto the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, a spiritual body. And we're so thankful, Father, for all that you've provided for us. And we thank you and praise you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.